Hello and welcome to Read It With Whiskey. My name is Laura Gentinen and I am your host. I'm also the self-published author of the Shockwave series, and we have just finished up November and I've got some really big news in regards to NaNoWriMo and my writing progress for Static Equilibrium, which is book three in the Shockwave series. So more about that in a little bit. But today's episode is all about A.L. Hook. She is the author of Daughter of the Antediluvian World, which is an Atlantis origin story. So we're going to dive into her interview in a second, but first, let me tell you a little bit about A.L. Hook. Ellie spent years as a journalist and copywriter before lacing up her hiking boots and venturing into the dense jungle of fiction writing. She developed her first character in the third grade and spent much of her young and not so young life dreaming of ancient civilizations and lost treasures. An avid outdoor enthusiast with an unquenchable wanderlust, many of Hook's own travels and bucket list locations are the inspiration for her stories. Her debut science fiction action-adventure novel, Daughter of the Antediluvian World, an Atlantis origin story, seeks the source of one of her favorite myths, the lost city of Atlantis. After dipping her toes into the wilds of fiction, Hook is now working on her first series as well as her own copy and content consulting business alongside her very tolerant husband in Raleigh, North Carolina. So that's a little bit about Allie. Her pen name is A.L. Hook, but I do talk to her as Allie within the interview, so don't get confused there. So we are talking about Daughter of the Antediluvian World, and this book was really exciting, so here is what it's all about. The key to the survival of an entire race lies in her genes, and she doesn't know it. Ryan Jones is a gifted archaeologist plagued by questions about her past and lucid dreams about Atlantis, the ancient civilization lost to history. When a mysterious gift arrives from her long-dead parents, Ryan abandons the stable life she has fought to create to cross the globe in search of answers. Fierce secrecy is literally in her DNA, but she must place her trust in strangers and her unique abilities to find her way home. Her quest leads her deep into the heart of darkness, where the centuries-long search for the lost city finally ends. There, she finds that the secrets hidden in her genetic code could save an entire race from the brink of extinction, but there is a cost. Ryan must choose between her past and her future, her family and the man she loves, and the next great leap in evolution or the destruction of the human race. This book was so exciting. It is massive. It is very big, but I absolutely loved every second of it. It is binge-worthy. It is broken up into very distinct parts, which I believe helps in the reading of the entire story. We'll dive into that in the interview. So let's get into it. Welcome to Read It With Whiskey, the interview podcast featuring science fiction and fantasy authors. My name is Laura Gentinen, your host and the author of the Shockwave series. I am also a book club moderator, speaker, and avid reader, truly invested in every author's story. Within this podcast, I bring to you, the reader, all the behind-the-scenes secrets to how these guest indie authors bring their books into the world. If you are a sci-fi fantasy reader, then you need to hear from these authors. Let's learn about the person behind the page. Sit back, sip some whiskey, and lean in to these self-published authors. Hello, and welcome to a little Laura J. Live update. And you guys, we are live. This is updated as it's happening. The last four episodes, I actually recorded the Laura J. Live updates prior to the episode release. So all of October and all of November were recorded in September. I really didn't know what was actually going to be happening, but I gave like my best guess. And if you want to find out how those months went in regards to my writing and my own author business, then definitely head over to Patreon. Patreon.com/readitwithwhiskey. This is a membership site where you can become a Read It With Whiskey sponsor for as little as $3 a month, and you get all of the exclusive behind-the-scene content about my author career. So I have all of the updates for everything that happened within the last 2 months in the behind-the-scenes episode, which just went out this past weekend, the weekend of December 4th and 5th, 2021. So those episodes are out, the behind the scene episodes. You'll get all of the content from what happened in October and November in those behind the scenes episodes. So I'm not going to tell you everything that happened over the last 2 months, but as we are live, I'm going to talk about what we're doing right now in the life of Laura J. Live. So a lot has happened. I created a lot of content. I did a lot of writing. However, I didn't do everything that I necessarily wanted to have done by now. I go through all the details of how NaNoWriMo 2021 went in that behind the scenes episode in Patreon, but a little spoiler, I did not hit my 50,000. So I'm going to talk all about that in the behind the scenes episode. But for this week's update, I want to let you guys know that I am still working towards that 50K for Static Equilibrium, which is book 3 in the Shockwave series. So the Shockwave series, 3-part post-apocalyptic survival story about this woman who misplaces her husband. He has gone missing, and she has to trek across the country on her own. Making that decision was a huge pivotal part in kind of developing that character and who she is as a person. She's always been very dependent on others, and she is going to grow and build a lot about herself throughout the series. So that's where the series starts, and I'm currently working on book 3. Book 3, Static Equilibrium, will be out around April 2022. I haven't given a specific date yet, but it will be in the spring. So I'm currently working on that, and that is my main focus for this week. That is my Laura J. Live update. I am still working on Static Equilibrium. However, I also have another project, which is the hashtag Series for Creative Entrepreneurs. I have 3 different personal development, self-help, and business growth novellas focusing on creative entrepreneurs and how they can maximize their effort within their business so then they can have more personal and family time away from their business. So the third part in this series is actually going to be launching at the end of December, and so definitely keep your eye out for that release. It will be December 30th. Hashtag Me Time is the first book in the series. So hashtag Me Time, Avoiding Burnout as a Creative Entrepreneur. It's all about how to avoid burnout by implementing hashtag Me Time into your life. The second book in the series is hashtag We Time, Gaining Freedom as a Creative Entrepreneur. And that is all about how you can gain freedom from your business by implementing a few different business strategies and basically putting hashtag WeTime into your life. So those books are both already released. That has not been announced on the podcast yet because October and November had pre-recorded Laura J. Live updates. But hashtag MeTime released at the end of October, hashtag MeTime released at the end of November, and now hashtag WorkTime is the third and final installment of this series, and that will be released at the end of December. Hashtag work time, networking growth as a creative entrepreneur, is how you can use networking to your advantage to grow your creative business. So this 3-part series has been really fun to tackle, and that was one of the things that I've been doing within the last couple months. So like I said, go to behind the scenes episode on Patreon to hear more about that series. But that is one of my other focuses right now for my Laura J. Live update, is focusing on finalizing hashtag work time to get that published at the end of the month. So yes, a lot of publishing this month. So that's my Laura J. Live update. I definitely have so much more to tell you, but I want to get into this episode with A.L. Hook. So let's dive in. Hello, Allie, and welcome to Read It With Whiskey. How's your day going so far?
Hey, Laura, so glad to be here. Going great. Thank you.
I'm so excited to have you here. We're going to talk about your beautiful book, and we will dive into the cover and how extraordinary it is, both inside and out, like formatting, everything amazing. But before we dive into that, I would love for you to tell our listeners, why did you decide to become a writer?
Yeah, I've actually been a writer my whole life. My parents are actually moving right now, and they just dropped off like a bunch of boxes of stuff at my house. And so I now have definitive proof that I think I wrote my first story in the second grade. But I have, I've been a journalist since I'm 12, and have been kind of writing for fun and for work for my entire life. So it's just something that I've always enjoyed doing. I've, you know, dabbled in journalism and fiction, but this book was really my first kind of adventure into hardcore, you know, writing fiction. So
yeah, that's exciting. So what was that final push that made you think, okay, this is the time to publish this book?
I lost my mind. I don't, actually it was right after I got married. I had been kind of writing and rewriting and rewriting this story over and over since college, and just kind of not doing it right. You know, I'd get down these rabbit holes and not follow a consistent plot outline or anything, and kind of give up halfway through. And my husband is super entrepreneurial, and really, you know, I had talked about this for as long as I knew him, and he kind of pushed me. He's like, you know, we're done with the planning and everything. Take that time and go do something that you want to do. So I kind of sat down and really started doing a lot of research on how to write a book. I had, you know, like I said, I've been writing forever, but never anything like this. So that was kind of the push to get me started.
That's really exciting. And so you're a plotter. You briefly mentioned that, lots of research. I'm a pantser. If I plot anything, my characters say, nope, I'm going to take a left instead of a right. And I never know what's going to happen. So I'm a pantser. So do you think that you had any moments where you had to do a little bit of pantsing, or were you pretty good at sticking with the plot?
I think the first couple of times I tried to write this, I definitely tried it from the pantser perspective, and it did not work for me. Like I said, I get down these rabbit holes that were just so far off topic, and all of a sudden I'm writing in a completely different genre. Mm-hmm. So the plot really helped me kind of stay the course. It's how I've always written everything. So having the plot in front of me and not having to think about that really helped me kind of get into the scene or into the character development that I was working on. So there were definitely some surprises, even to me. The end was a surprise, even to me. I didn't plot that part out. But for the most part, I did stick pretty closely to my outline.
Okay, cool. And we're not going to give spoilers about the end, but I do have a question about the end later on. So we'll get to that. But first of all, tell our listeners, what is this book all about? Daughter of the Antediluvian World, an Atlantis origin story.
It's a science fiction action adventure story that follows my main character, my main heroine, Ryan Jones. She's an archaeologist and kind of a bit of a loner. And she's on a quest for answers about kind of her mysterious past. Her parents were killed when she was a young girl, and the investigation into their deaths went cold when the police learned that her parents essentially did not exist prior to moving into the home that they had found burned down. And really the only key to who they were was this young girl that was trapped in a crawl space under the home. So that was all she knew. That was all anybody knew about her family. So she kind of spends her whole life trying to figure this out. And right around the time of her 25th birthday, some interesting changes start happening with her. She starts having some vivid dreams and some of these different changes that she doesn't really understand. So she actually starts looking at her own health and into her genetics to find out what's going on. And that kind of leads her on this path and this adventure across the globe to figure out who she is.
Oh, so exciting. And they go all over the globe. With the different travels that you have within the book, they're actually split up into four different parts. Part one, United States, then to Thera, the Amazonia, Lost City of Atlantis. Obviously, it's an Atlantis origin story, so we know that we're going to get there eventually.
Yes.
So was that the plotting of those four separate parts? Was that totally on purpose that you wanted to separate all of those, or was that kind of like a fluke? I'm assuming it was probably planned.
It was planned. And, you know, a lot of it had to do with kind of the research I had done into all of the different origin stories mm-hmm. for Atlantis. There's so many different conspiracy theories and, you know, histories out there of this lost civilization. So some of them intrigued me. I mean, they all intrigued me, but some of them mm-hmm. really got me more than others. And I wanted to get those into the book. So, you know, the idea that Atlantis was in, you know, the Strait of Gibraltar or Santorini kind of really brought Thera and Greece into the story. And then the Amazon was, you know, kind of a whole different thing. I read a book about the lost treasures of Carlo Crespi and how he had found archaeological evidence, he claimed, of Atlantis in the Amazon. And I'm a huge Joseph Conrad fan, so that seemed like a logical place to end. But yeah, so wanting to get those different theories in really kind of added to the plot and the travels too.
Oh, I bet that research was so much fun. I love conspiracy theories and diving into that whole world, not only of Atlantis, but like, you know, Bermuda Triangle, all that kind of stuff. How extensive was that research? And not only with the research with all that type of information, but also the genetic information, the DNA science that is within the book. Tell us a little bit more about all that.
The research extensive. We'll call it like a decade. this is that kind of my first book. So it's a story that's been rattling around in my brain for a really long time. And I've read everything from kind of these pseudo archaeological mm-hmm. nonfiction to fiction to Plato's dialogues over the years about Atlantis and all of the different stories. And, you know, bringing them together was really fun. It was a challenge just deciding what to pick because there's so many fun options out there. But diving into the genetics was something new for me. I'm a marketer by trade, certainly not a scientist by any means. So I think the outline and the research for this book definitely took longer than actually writing the book. I definitely plotted it to within an inch of its life, doing all the research, but it was fun. It took me probably about a year to get all of my notes and thoughts and research together for this. So
awesome. I loved all the genetic components, DNA, and how the Atlanteans all are connected. And we're not going to talk too much about that because I want them to read the book because I would be so bad at trying to explain all the stuff that happens because there's so much that happens. I love the story and I love the characters too. So let's dive in a little bit about the characters. Ryan is our main character. She's incredible. I love that she has such a cool, like, sciencey job because a lot of people in these books, the main character, they're like some macho lady or they're, you know, but I like that she was all science and that really helped her throughout the story. But I also really loved Frida. She was the therapist. And then obviously we have Phoenix and Rowan. I think Rowan was probably one of my favorites. So yeah. Tell our listeners, who is one of your favorite characters just in general, or who is your favorite character to write?
I think Frida was definitely my favorite character to write. She's a little zany. She's totally wonky and out there. So she was really fun to write. She is not so loosely based on my mother, which is not a surprise for people who know me and my family. So when my mom first read the book, she was like, "Are you making fun of me?" She obviously loved it. So Frida was really fun for me to write because I could just see my mom like in my head as I was writing it. It made her really easy and made her really come to life really quickly for me. So I hope I was able to get that through for the readers too.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, that's so fun. I'm not going to say anything about what characters or what happens within the end of the book, but let's just say I'm hoping that there is going to be a book two. Was that, because I know you said you didn't know what was going to happen at the end until you wrote it. And it could be a standalone, but there is so much potential for a second book. So is there going to be a second book?
It was originally written as a standalone. Mm-hmm. It was definitely written as a standalone. I wasn't sure what this process was going to be like, but I'm hooked. You know, I'm totally hooked on it. I can't wait to write another one. And I've gotten enough requests and enough comments about how I left it and, you know, what's going to happen to the characters next that I think that there's probably definitely a sequel and maybe even a prequel in the future for fans of this book. So.
Oh, definitely. And I like that the way that you wrote the book, it has flashbacks. There are huge components of memories and the past within the current storyline. And so, yeah, I hadn't even thought about that, but doing a prequel about various people within the book that we will not name, that could be very interesting. So, oh my goodness, I'm really excited if that happens. Yeah. but speaking of memories, that's a huge theme within the book with Ryan having these flashbacks or dreams about past people and past situations. She doesn't know if they're real or not. Was that something that you found in your research with Atlantis, or was that just an idea that you had sprung out of nowhere?
It was a little bit of both. Okay. So a lot of the research, I wanted to get so many aspects of the fall of Atlantis. You know, I really wanted to get the story of the fall of Atlantis into my book without making it the time period in which I wrote the book. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the memories were a really good tool to kind of get that story in, but they also, it really became kind of a plot mechanism for me to kind of help things move along because it was, you know, it's such a obscure concept. And it was a new concept to Ryan that in order to get her to move through and find, you know, move through the story, she kind of needed that mechanism. So it was a little bit of a plot tool and a little bit of a, just really a desire to kind of write about the fall of Atlantis in this book. So.
Yeah, I loved that. And I'm excited to see if you do end up writing book two, how that continues and how it can grow the character storylines and everything. I thought that was really fun. And something else, so we have these memories or dream type situations that are going on, but we also have the idea of the Atlanteans having some type of power. They're some other type of higher being. So tell us a little bit about the Atlanteans and who they are within your book.
Yeah. So I originally, when I wrote this book, there was a lot of Greek mythology and a lot of fantasy involved. And as I wrote it, I kind of felt like that wasn't necessarily true to the genre that I wanted to write. So it became science. And I wanted to get some kind of special ability in there without it being magic, right? So psionics is one of those studies where, again, very much like the Atlantis story and conspiracy, there's a lot of conspiracies and concepts and ideas out there around, you know, people having just increased mental ability. What I did with the Atlanteans was essentially made them superhumans and gave them some of these psionic abilities. And it wasn't, you know, waving a magic wand and having something appear for them. It was really access to, you know, greater access to their brain and essentially being further evolved than the human race. So some of the things that you can expect in there is there's a little bit of telekinesis. There's a little bit of, you know, being able to move things with their mind, but the powers, you know, that they have, the abilities that they have are kind of as different as each individual character and person is. So it's something that they kind of evolved into.
Again, if you write a book too, I'm excited to see where all that goes. So I actually watched on, I think it was on your Instagram, the time when you first opened up your proof of your book. And I love hearing the story about when people first hold their book within their hands. And it was really funny because in your video, you're like, oh, I didn't know it was that big. Yeah. So tell us what that was like, that whole experience.
That was the first thing that came to my mind. So the first book that I ordered, the proof copy that I ordered, I was thinking in my head, like, doesn't count, right? It's just a proof copy. I needed to make sure that my formatting was working. And, you know, I didn't really build it up in my head. And then when I got here, I was like, I cannot believe how big this thing is. When you write a book in Word or, you know, on a computer, you don't really have an idea of how long, you know, how substantial it's going to be. And when I first got the book and I saw how I was, this is a real novel. I was thinking this was a short story, but it is not. It is a 457 page full length novel. And all 457 pages of it came in that proof copy. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, it looks like a real book. It was really exciting.
Yes, you made this. Isn't that so cool to say I actually made this, right? And I was surprised too by how thick it was. But once I dove in, I didn't even care how long it was because I was roped in from the very beginning and I pretty much binge read this thing because I was so invested. Very well written. And not only that, but it's also beautiful. The cover is phenomenal, but then also all the section breaks. So tell us that process.
As far as the section breaks, I think that kind of came about, like we were talking about with different, you know, plotting the different, you know, spots in her adventure. But then as when it came to formatting, I'm, you know, a marketer by trade. So I spend a lot of time creating content and designing things. So I had all these ideas about what I wanted to do and had never written or formatted a book before. So working with my formatter, I'm sure I gave them more than a few gray hairs, but I, you know, kind of took the ideas to them and they really brought it to life for me. And same with my cover artist. She is an absolute wizard. She, you know, I gave her a list of ideas and she put them on paper exactly as I had it in my head. So
I think that was something that really wrote me in at the very beginning when we first got connected to was the cover, because not only does it have like a traditional Atlantis look to it, but then there's these shiny like skyscrapers just hanging out in the jungle. And that's very intriguing because it's like, okay, this is like a contemporary, it's in our current world. So what would their world look like if they were still around? And I thought that was a really good touch to have in the cover. So absolutely beautiful. Do you have offhand, do you know the artist name or your formatter name? Do you want to give them a shout out?
I got the formatting done and the cover done by 100 covers and formatted books.
Okay, cool.
They were both amazing to work with and really just took everything I said and put it on paper in a way that I wouldn't have been able to do by myself.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Okay. So we talked about the book a little bit. We talked a little bit about you, but what's something your readers don't know about you?
I think maybe I alluded to it already. I'm actually a total fantasy nerd, which I don't think you'd get from, you know, from my writing or from my website or, you know, from any of my other content. And I say that in the most, you know, positive way possible, but I really do love the fantasy genre. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I tried to write in it and I just don't know if I can. I think I'm a little bit more of a sci-fi writer, but I love to read it. So anything that I can get my hands on, I'm down for all of it.
I love it. I know. I love fantasy too. Sci-fi and fantasy. That's all we talk about on Read It With Whiskey. and then elaborate a little bit more on your work. What do you do with your business? And it sounds like you kind of work with entrepreneurs or business owners. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, so I'm trying to. I'm currently the CEO of a marketing. I'm sorry, the COO of a marketing agency here in downtown Raleigh, and I wanted to kind of take some of my marketing skills and help small business owners or authors or entrepreneurs mm-hmm. figure out how to kind of do that on their own. You know, marketing, especially when you get involved with an agency, can sometimes really be a black hole, and it can be a really big financial investment. But everybody needs it. You know, everybody mm-hmm. deserves to get their voice out there, and I don't think that anybody is better qualified to market their own business or their book or their work or their dreams than they are. So I really wanted to kind of put together some online courses and some consulting to help authors and entrepreneurs figure out how to market their own work. So book marketing is certainly new to me. It is a whole new world for me, and it's very different from what I'm used to. So it's been an adventure kind of figuring that out. And I'm going to start working some book marketing tips into my own social media, you know, my own author social media. But I'm also working on developing some courses right now to help business owners and entrepreneurs learn how to write and market like a marketer.
That's really exciting. So that's some fun projects on the horizon. And how about writing projects? We're hoping for book two, but do you have any other projects that you have been working on or in the works at all?
Yeah. So I have been marinating on a global treasure hunt series.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah. So that is, that's something that I kind of jumped to right away after finishing this book up, thinking that I was done with it. It was a standalone. Mm-hmm. So I kind of jumped right into, you know, kind of a Dan Brown, James Rollins-esque adventure mystery treasure hunt kind of idea. But I keep finding myself getting pulled back to my characters. You know, every time somebody mentions them to me, it's like, okay, I need to maybe do them some justice and come back. So kind of plotting and marinating on both of those storylines right now.
Awesome. Well, that's exciting. That sounds super fun. A global treasure hunt. I love that type of stuff. Right up my alley. This wouldn't be Read It With Whiskey without talking a little bit about whiskey. So Allie, what is your favorite whiskey to drink?
I would say if I'm feeling extra fancy, I like Basil Hayden's or Blanton's Neat, but I think our house whiskey's Buffalo Trace. It's the one that we always have around, and it makes a really fantastic Manhattan. So more of a bourbon girl than a whiskey girl. Mm-hmm. It's a requirement to live in the South, I think. But I'm always down for a good Manhattan.
Oh, I love it. And tell our listeners, where can they find you? Where can they find your book, your business, everything that you do online?
Yeah. So my website is a great place to start. It's alhook.com, and Hook is H-O-O-K-E after my favorite fictional character, Captain James Hook out of Peter Pan. But you can find me on my website. I am actually just launching a monthly newsletter starting next month. So definitely encourage people to get subscribed and signed up for that. And you can also find me on Instagram and Facebook. My handle there is at alhookbooks.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I had so much fun talking to you.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks, Laura.
Talking with Allie was so much fun. And if I didn't say it enough in the interview, I really hope book two comes out soon. I really liked the story and where it was heading. But as it is, I think it could stay as a standalone. I know I mentioned that in the interview. But it's just such a fun story, such great characters, and I think there is potential to continue on. So we shall see what happens in the future. And speaking of future, our next episode will be coming out on December 21st, and that is with Miss Sasha Black, the author of Keepers. And you guys, this is a really action-packed episode. Sasha Black is huge in the indie world, in the self-publishing world, so definitely tune in on the 21st. Make sure to go onto Amazon and purchase Daughter of the Antediluvian World by A.L. Hook. All of the links are in the bio. I would love for you to support her and her new author career. All right, you guys, I will talk to you next time. You've been listening to an episode of Read It With Whiskey. I am your host, Laura Gentinen, and I just wanted to personally hop in and say thank you so much for listening. Your support of the podcast means so much to me, and I would really appreciate it if you could go onto your favorite podcast platform and rate and review the show. By rating the show, you're going to help more people find the podcast so then we can grow. Once you review the show, share it on your social media, share your favorite episode with your friends, and come back next time to hear more from self-published authors. I'll talk to you soon.